And so what was going to be easy and amazing is now going to take a lot of work. The only one that had a child that did not have a sin nature was Mary. Can you imagine raising Jesus? No sin nature. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And then she had the others. To love your husbands, love your children, to be keepers of our homes. We're supposed to make heaven on earth here. Now, it's never going to be heaven, but it's a piece of heaven so people can look in our homes and say, wow, not what they look like, although that's part of the mixture, but how the peace and the love and the goodness of God is just emanating from the home. And when people walk into your house, it could be a mess. I mean, it could be shabby. You could just say, oh, gosh, my furniture's old and, you know, there's baby prints everywhere. But there's something about your home. People walk in your house, they just feel just a touch of heaven. There's just goodness. And there's peace, even though everybody's screaming and all this commotion, because that's not peace. That's not a sign of no peace, right? How to love your husbands, how to love your children, how to be keepers of your home, how to be submissive to your own husband. And we're going to cover that at the marriage thing. I love the way God said, be submissive to your own husband. He didn't say, be submissive to every male on the planet that wants to rule your life. No, your husband. Amen? That we would be discreet. That word means wise. We're savvy. We get it. We get the kingdom and we get the planet. And we are here to do God's will. And it's an amazing adventure as a woman of God. That the word of God would not be blasphemed. So the old girls are to teach the young girls all this stuff. Which means we're on the journey together. Because we're still getting it as we grow older. And we've got something you don't have, you young girls. We've got hindsight. And we can tell you, don't step there. I did, and there was a landmine. So hindsight's the best sight. The best sight is actually God's sight, faith sight. So welcome to Girlfriends. And this is where we're safe. Listen, at the table fellowships, you cannot say the wrong thing, okay? If there's questions, and there's questions for discussion, because we want you to learn how to talk to each other. We're going to give you the word of God, and then we're going to set you at these tables. We're going to say, now apply it. Let's talk about, did you get it? And, you know, with me, a lot of you don't get it because sometimes I'm everywhere. So I'm asking God this year to help me be a better teacher. But not only did you get it, but now how do we apply it in our lives? How can we take what we heard today and how can we get out of this place, walk out those doors, and how can we put that truth into our lives and work it out into our home, into our world, into the marketplace, wherever we are? Because not everybody here is married. Maybe you're a single mom. Maybe you've never been married yet. Maybe you don't want to be married and God's called you into a single life and it's awesome because guess what? There's a whole lot more you can do for God than the married girls. Amen? So it's for everybody. And that's what Girlfriends is all about. So you're safe at the tables. You can't say a stupid thing. I have a saying here at Girlfriends, we are all blonde on the inside. The blonde gene is everywhere. So maybe your skin has that beautiful chocolate color to it, which I'm so jealous of because you don't crack. You don't get wrinkles. It's not fair. Some of you girls in here that are in your older years, I look at you and I think, God, what was wrong? Okay, was it so wrong that you couldn't have just put a little pigment in my skin, you know? But we're all blonde on the inside. In other words, we all do stupid things, right? So if you do a stupid thing at the table, it's okay. Don't worry about it. No worries. We're here to be friends. We're here to do life together. We're here as women of God learning and taking this journey of faith together as women. Because we go out of these doors and we go into a world that doesn't believe. We go into a world that is filled with chaos. We go into a world that is filled with sorrow and bad news. So we come in here and we go, and we take a breath of heaven. And God just sort of just says, come on now, girls. You're my girls. Just settle down. Let me love you. Let me teach you. And then I'm going to send you out and you're going to be magnificent women of God wherever you go. And that's what Girlfriends is about. So welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So if you're here for the first time, one more time, let me see your hands. We just want to say we are glad you're here. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to continue our series. Now, how many of you went home and actually thought about goals? Good. Did you write it down? Good. Because I think throughout the year, do you have an accountability partner, somebody that you can talk to and just kind of check on you. How are you doing with your goals? Because it's going to take faith to see that goal come to pass. And when we ended Girlfriends last year, now what I want you to do, some of you that aren't turned around, turn your chairs around because your neck's going to be going like this through the whole thing. So just get up and turn your chair around. It's okay. I have a cough drop because last week you couldn't hardly even hear me talk. This week my voice is back. It's just low and sexy. I don't sound like Minnie Mouse like I normally do. Could I just keep this voice? Except I can't sing. Of course, I never could sing anyway. So what difference does that make? But it's going to take faith to bring the goal to pass. It's going to take faith this year to see the things that we need to see. God isn't a God of recession. God is a God that is ever increasing his world and ever increasing his universe. And God is not restrained or regulated by anything that man does because God's God. Therefore, I can actually live on this planet in the year 2010, and I can believe God for the supernatural. I can believe God for good news. That's what the gospel means, is good news. I can believe God that he wants to prosper me. He wants my life to be good. He wants people to look at me and say, I want what she's having. Whatever she's doing in life, I want that kind of a life. Because we are living epistles written by the hand of the Holy Spirit for all men to read. And so God wants us to be women that this year believe God and expect the miraculous and expect things to change. And expect these things to happen. If we don't walk by faith and we're back in just carnal knowledge and earthly wisdom, nothing's going to get accomplished. So I just want to just quick review. I did 3 lessons on faith last year at the end of the season. Number 1 was the voice of faith. And it was about God's word and that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if I don't look at this book and realize it's God speaking to me just like he spoke to Abraham, like he talked to Moses in the burning bush. This written word that has been penned for me, 66 authors, 1,500 years of writing, and they all said the same thing and they didn't know each other. It is a supernatural book. And when you read this book and you study this book, God says, when you meditate on my word day and night, it will speak to you and it will cause you to be prosperous and have good success in your life. But if I don't open the book and if I don't believe the book, guess what? Then the book doesn't do anything for me but sit and get dust. It was the voice of faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, just like you got saved. You heard Jesus is your Savior. Something went into your heart and you said, I believe that. And you said yes to God and you surrendered your life. And you might have walked an aisle, maybe you didn't, but you said yes to God. You told somebody, and before you know it, now you're on the journey of being a Christian. That is how you got saved. You heard it, you believed it in your heart, and you spoke it out of your mouth. Because lesson number 2 was the eyes of faith, or lesson 3 was the confession of faith. And the way we got saved is the way we do life. It's a pattern. You hear it, you believe it, and you begin to do it and work it out in your own life. So there was the voice of faith, the word of God. There was the eyes of faith. What are we looking at? Because faith has eyes. And then there was faith's confession. Faith has a voice. You have a voice of faith on the inside of you. Now you can talk what you have, or you can begin to speak like God those things that be not as if they were. Because a great man of God once said, my people say what they have instead of having what they say. In other words, I'm sick. I'm poor. I'm old. I'm miserable. I'm depressed. I'm unhappy. You see, that's saying what you have. But when I say, I am healed by the stripes of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and this disease that's on my body right now cannot stay because my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And you've got a name, and I curse you in the name of Jesus because I got a promise from God that says, by his stripes I'm healed. Therefore, I speak in the name of Jesus. You will be healed, body. You will be whole, body. You will be strong, body. You belong to God. You're a temple. You've been assigned to my spirit. This is who I am on the planet. I'm wearing you. Therefore, you are illegal sickness and disease in my body. And I confess and I believe that I am healed by the stripes of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and carried my sickness and my disease. He was made a curse for me, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He was made sin that I might become righteous. Therefore, I have legal law by to be healed. Therefore, body, get in line in the name of Jesus. You see, now I'm speaking those things that be not, because there's sickness in my body, as if they were. I'm not saying what I have. I'm having what I say. You understand? There's a difference. So today, I want to do part four of faith, of my teaching on faith. It's called the law of faith. Because the just shall live by faith. We are to walk by sight. We are to walk by faith and not by sight, according to 2 Corinthians. We are to be women that live and move and breathe faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things we don't see. Just like right now, you don't see all of the sound waves. Or you don't see the transistor waves. You don't see all of the invisible things that are working in our visible universe. But yet there's a signal going from this microphone to a transistor and a circuit board that's amplifying my voice. Now, do you see a wire? Is there a wire connected to this? It's wireless. So what's it doing? It is transmitting through waves, sound waves. Do you see them? Can you see them? Can you see the evidence of them? Yes. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things you don't see. So just like I picked up this microphone, and I believe and I know that when I speak into this microphone, if this is turned on and the power is turned on, it will amplify my voice. Faith is the same way with God and the kingdom of God. Faith, the law of faith, works that way. It's a law. God is the judge. He works on legal principles. He is the righteous judge. He is the judge of all judge. There will be a judgment day. You and I will stand before the throne of judgment, and we will be judged. Christians will be judged by Jesus as our works pass through the flames of fire. But non-believers will be judged by God based on whether or not their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it is not, they will be judged and they will be condemned because they have refused the way of salvation. But he's a judge. He is the judge. Judges decide and determine and interpret law. Do they not? So there is law. Law is a legal term. When I'm dealing with faith, I'm dealing with legalities. There is the law of faith. Are you hearing me? Now, just like there is a law of gravity. Here's a little tiny little cough drop. If I take this cough drop right now and drop it, what happens? It bounced. Why? Gravity. I know this is simplistic, but let's learn this like children, okay? So, if I take this cough drop and I drop it on this side of the room, what's going to happen to the cough drop? It's going to fall. Why? Because gravity says, the law of gravity says, that when you weigh more than the air, you're going to descend. You are going to fall. It's called the law of gravity. Are you with me? However, there's a higher law than the law of gravity. Did you know what that is? It's the law of lift. Because the law of lift, when it's engineered correctly, can take a massive airplane, a massive jet, and it can defy the law of gravity, and it can get off that runway, and it can manipulate the other physical laws of our world, and it can actually fly. It doesn't fall because it's operating in another law. Are you with me? Well, faith is the same thing in God's kingdom because he's the king, and we are talking about the kingdom. This is kingdom law, the law of faith, and I'm going to show you in the Word of God today that when things are impossible and there's no way on this green earth or brown earth that it's going to happen, you can't make it happen, you can't think it to happen, you can't manipulate it to happen, you can't wish it to happen. The law of faith says what is impossible with man is possible with God. There's a higher law in this universe called the law of faith. And that is why faith is a substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things you don't see. If God says you can have it, it can be in your life. It's the will of God. If I have his legal word on it and a promise that's been purchased by blood covenant, in other words, he has signed and he has sealed and he has delivered that promise to me, then there's a higher law of faith that says it can be mine and I can see it working in my life. That's why the sick can be healed. That's why this is good news. Jesus said, I'm anointed. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the blind and the poor and the lame and the broken and the deaf. The poor have the good news preached to them. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Because the law of faith, like the law of lift in the natural world, lifts us beyond what is impossible. And now we move into the realm of the possible in faith. Because the angel told Mary, all things are possible to them that will believe. Because we're talking about a supernatural kingdom that, my darlings, even though we're living on planet Earth and we're in the natural, we have now been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom, and it's everywhere. It's in us. It's around us, just like these sound waves. You can't see it with your ear, with your eyes. You can't smell it with your natural smell. But in the spirit, it is more real than the natural, because the invisible created the visible. Are you with me? Let's look at some scripture, the law of faith. Romans 3:27, where do we find it? Paul's writing an incredible, incredible letter to the Roman church about salvation, about the law versus faith. We are not Jews. We are Gentiles. In biblical description, unless you are born of a Jewish ancestry, and you might be, some of you in here, you are a Gentile. You are either a Gentile, which is non-Jewish, or you are Jewish. Jesus was a Jew. He came through the lineage of Abraham, and God chose the Jewish race to bring forth the Messiah. Therefore, salvation is of the Jews, because they were the ones that were given the law in the Old Testament. We as Gentiles were outside that old covenant. We were outside of all of it. And Jesus Christ has brought us together with the Jewish race to make us one new creation, one new man. So if you're not born of Jewish blood, you are a Gentile. It doesn't matter what color you are. You're a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. I'm not Jewish. And in the Old Testament, God gave the Jews what he called the law. Now, the law was there for two reasons. The law was severe. If you kill somebody, you're killed. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It was severe. You do anything on the Sabbath, you're dead. You do this, you're dead. It was to show Israel two things. Number one, that no one can fulfill the law. It's impossible. You break one part of it, you break it all. It was to show the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Sin is the transgression and the breaking of God's will. That's what sin is. So the law came forth to show humanity, because we'd eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and like today, we think, well, everything's okay. Whatever we think is okay is okay. No, God's the judge, right? He's the king. He said, no, here's law. This law is going to show you, number one, how sinful sin is. And number two, it's going to act as a schoolmaster, a tutor, and it's going to bring you to Jesus, because you're going to understand when you study this that there's no way you can keep this. All it can do is condemn you. It cannot save you. Therefore, the law brings you to Jesus. It is the schoolmaster that shows you that there's one coming. His name is Messiah. The Jews look to the cross. We look back to the cross. We are one man when we believe in Jesus. The law was there to bring us to Jesus Christ, to show us the exceeding sinfulness of sin and that we cannot do it on our own. Where is boasting then? Because now he's saying, look, because he's talking about the Jews right now. The Jews have stumbled on Jesus. They don't believe in him. Now he's writing to this Gentile church in Rome. A lot of Christians in Caesar's palace, a lot of Christians everywhere. They don't understand any of this. Like you and I, they weren't raised as Jews. They didn't read the Old Testament. They don't have it. So he's trying to explain to them, listen, the Jews stumbled on this because they wanted to work their way to God. And did you know every world religion works their way to God? It's a behavior change. And if you're good enough, and if you can be disciplined enough, and if you can do this, and if you can do this, and if you can do this, then you're walking your way up to nirvana, up to heaven. But God says that's impossible. Because all have sinned, Romans chapter 3, verse 26, and come short of the glory of God, or verse 23, Romans 3, 23. He says you can't earn salvation. The Jews were attempting to do it through the law, but he's saying, don't you understand? You can't keep the law. All the law can do is condemn you because it shows you how screwed up you really are. When I say to you, don't commit adultery, Jesus said, listen, if you even look at a woman and lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. The disciples said, they staggered back and they said, oh, you got to be kidding. You mean if I don't do the act, but if I actually think about it in my heart, I've broken the law? And he said, yeah. That's exactly right. Because you see, all the law could do is show you how screwed up you are in this sin nature. We can't fix us. I can't work to fix me. I have no ability to fix what's really wrong with me. And there's a lot of things that were really wrong with me, and there's still things that are wrong with me, and God is working out my salvation with me. But I can't fix me. You can't fix that man. You can't fix that kid. You cannot fix your economic situation. You cannot fix what is wrong with your life. But there's a law, the law of faith, that says what you can't do, he can do. Because it says, where's your boasting? By what? The law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Let me have another verse. Let me show you another verse on this. Luke 18, 17. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Mark 9, 23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Talking about the law of faith. Mark 11, 22 and 24. That may not be up there. It is. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them and you will have them. Now, there's a catch 22. You cannot ask outside the will of God. God will not violate his will. So if your prayers aren't getting answered, then the first thing you need to check is, Lord, am I doing your general will? Because if I'm not, what makes you think he's going to do anything to get you to your personal destiny? There's things that God's told us to do, and we're going to get to that today about the law of faith, how we absolutely get it working in our lives. Out of the mouth of two or three, let every word be established. I've just given you four scriptures, the law of faith. The law of faith supersedes every other law on this planet, because what is impossible with man is possible with God. Now, just for a moment, I want you to stop and think, what's impossible in your life? What mountain is in front of you? What desire is in you that has not yet come to pass, that's a God desire? You see, the law of faith kicks in and works. So you need to hear this message, because I'm going to teach you how to get it operating in your life. Are you with me? Now, the challenge of the law versus grace, because grace, say it with me, is God's sovereign, divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it, right? The law says, I will work and get this done. Grace says, I cannot get this done. Therefore, I believe that what God says is true, and he will get it done through me and in me and to my life. It's not the works of man. It's the works of God in conjunction with you and I. Are you with me? Because it's actually can be a little confusing. Galatians 2:6 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. You can't do it. Here's the self-explanatory short version of this, law versus grace. I'm either working for the promise, that's the law, or I'm trusting for the promise. Working for the promise, or trusting in the promise? Working for the promise. All right, God, I'm just going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this happen. And you owe me, because when you work for something, you have wages to be paid you, right? But you see, that's not what salvation is, because you and I couldn't work for it. We couldn't buy it. We couldn't do anything to get it. It's a gift from God. You and I were bankrupt and enslaved by sin. We had nowhere to go. We were on our way to hell. We were sheep for the slaughter. Satan didn't appreciate us. He didn't like us. He had damned us. He had enslaved us. We gave him our, he gave us his sin nature, which is rebellion against God. For the things we wanted to do, we couldn't do. Were you ever the girl that just couldn't say no? I was. And then you hate yourself in the morning. I'm not going to sleep with him. He's not getting near me. And then, boom, you wake up and you're in a relationship that you know isn't right. And will you hate yourself? Come on, I'm not just talking to one person in here. I'm talking to the women of God. Can we get up close and personal? I'm not going to spend that money. I'm not going to go shopping. Bam, that's exactly what you do. You hate yourself as the credit cards go up and up and up and up. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to talk about that person. Bam, all of a sudden, there you are. Gossiping and talking, and when you know, and there's a check in your spirit, Holy Spirit's got all kinds of red lights going off, and you just keep on talking. And then later on, you just, your heart smites, you just go, oh, why did I say that? You feel bad. You can't change you. I can't change me. The law condemned us. We can't work for grace. We can only receive grace. Grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. I'm talking about the law of faith. Now, grace works two ways. I'm going to give you two ways. How do you define the supernatural grace of God, who's in the heart and the mind of God, and his name is the Spirit of Grace. His name is Jesus, that gift that I can only receive by faith. Grace, my husband says it so well, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. So grace goes to work for me to bring the impossible into my life. The things desired become the things possessed, right? But grace also works on the inside of me, because not only is God wanting to bless my life, but God wants to transform me so that I begin to look like him, a new creation, like my Father. And therefore, grace is God's power in me to do what his truth demands of me. Do you understand? So grace works in my life, working out my salvation, convicting me and helping me to change when I can't. God, I just can't seem to shut my mouth. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me, Spirit of grace. Help me quicken my heart when I'm about to say the wrong thing. You see, now grace just begins to come and work on the inside, sanctifying and changing us. Does that make sense? God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. Listen, we couldn't build this church. We didn't have the money. Grace went out, helped us build this church. This is built by the grace of God. As an ex-everything, I couldn't change me. So the grace of God on the inside of me came into my heart, came into my life. And God's power in me, as I fed on the word of God, began to give me the power to do what his truth demanded of me. Does that make sense? So it's inward and it's outward. Are you with me? Now, what has this got to do with the law of faith? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Because the law of faith brings the impossible into my world, both inward and outward. Oh, God, my husband used to look at me and say, you'll never change. My ex-husband, not Jim. Have you ever had anybody say that to you? You'll never change. It'll just be the same. You see, when that is spoken over your life, that's a truth in the natural. That's the law of gravity working in your life. But there's a higher law. The law of faith that says, no, I can change because I am being transformed from glory to glory. And as I step into faith and as I step into grace, God is able to give me the power to do what His truth demands of me. As I study His word and as I am wanting to obey His word, that grace begins to work on the inside of me. And when I couldn't say no, now I can say no. I'm not getting drunk. I'm not getting stoned. I'm not going out with you. You're not getting in my pants. Hello? I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going after a man if he's not born of the Spirit of God. Where before you were just longing for anybody. Am I talking to any woman in here? Grace. Okay, I need the diagram up on the overhead. It's how it works. I'm going to teach you something today. This stuff will change your life. Stupid women, frivolous, and not wanting to go deep. I don't know about you. I want to go deep. I want to know how this kingdom works so I can work it in my life. Because I gotta have a law that overrules the law of the impossible, because the impossible is always in my life, because God's always challenging me to do the impossible. And if I don't learn how this works, I'm just going to be average and I'll never fulfill destiny. And I don't know about you, but I want the best marriage on the planet. I want to raise the best kids. I want to have the best amazing grandchildren. I want to have the most amazing church. I want to see the 19,000 homeless kids off the streets of San Bernardino County. I want to see us change our world. But it isn't going to happen by just wishful thinking. It's only going to happen by faith. Your marriage is going to get healed by faith. Your kids are going to serve God by faith. Income will come in by faith. You'll get married, you single girls, by faith, and you'll wait for the right man, because it will be the right man on the will of God, and it will be heaven on earth for you. It's worth waiting for by faith. You'll raise those kids by faith. But grace, how we got saved, grace is what comes into our life. God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. God's power in me to do what His truth demands of me, inward change and outward manifestation. Grace, grace, grace. It's not just salvation. Grace begins to work in your life. Grace begins to come in. It's the throne of grace. It is the word of grace. It is the spirit of grace. It is God's power in the law of faith to change what cannot be changed. We are living on this planet. And we are living in the natural, but we are now supernatural beings. You are a spirit having a physical experience. You are in an earth suit, but one day you will depart this earth suit and you will live eternally with Him and you will see Him face to face. You are His bride. You are His children. You are His people. And this is a little parenthesis in eternity, but everything depends on how we live it. Are you with me? Grace. Okay, here's grace. I've got grace at the top. Grace. God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. Grace takes the impossible and makes it possible. I couldn't save myself, but here comes grace. Salvation, and I got saved. Could I earn it? The law? No. I can only receive it. Are you with me? Grace is received. It is appropriated. It is acquired by faith. Ephesians chapter 2. See if you can find it for me. You got it? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Okay, here we go. For by grace you have been saved. How? 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 How did you get saved? No, how did you get saved? What was the first thing? The gift of God, was it not? Could you earn it? Does God owe you salvation? You see, if we don't understand that, we miss this. Grace came. But how did you receive grace? What does the word say? by grace. You have been saved through faith. How do you and I acquire grace? By faith. Faith is the vehicle. It is the law of faith. I call it the economy of heaven. Faith is God's economy. Just like we live in a capitalistic society and the dollar is what transpires, and it's called capitalism, which means goods and services, supply and demand. If there is a huge supply and a short demand, the prices fall. If there is a great demand and a short supply, the prices go up. It's called capitalism, the free market system. America was a capitalistic nation when it started. That's our form of economics here. God has an economic system in his kingdom. It's called faith. When I need something, goods and services from heaven, how do I get them? Do I wish for them? Do I work really, really hard and try to be really, really good and, oh, please, God, maybe, please, please, oh, please, maybe, maybe, maybe. And then he'll just give it to me. Yeah, it's baby stuff. Not saying he won't bless you, but he's called us to grow up so that we can be mature and we can actually birth the kingdom through our lives. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith is the system. It is that intangible power of the human heart and God's heart in us that believes and says, I can't do it, I don't earn it, but I believe it. Therefore, I receive it by faith in Jesus' name, because it's all in Christ. All of it's in Christ. You can't just believe God for whatever you want. It is not going to happen. I am talking about a woman of God that is submitted to God, because here's the deal. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith reaches out and receives grace. It's faith. It's not your works. You don't earn grace. You can't earn grace. When I was at my worst, God was at his best in my life because he loved me. It's called grace. But grace is received by faith. But faith works by love. So what does that mean? Love, my love for God, gives me the fuel to believe God. I love God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do what I say. It's like a husband saying to a wife, if you really love me, then you're going to submit to me and let me be the husband here. You see, a wife that is manipulative, cheating on her husband, saying that she loves him face to face, but when he's gone, she's out sleeping with other men. Is that love? No, she is an unfaithful, adulterous wife. Is she not? She's deceiving her husband. But God says, because he likens us to his wife, he likens marriage to Christ and the church. Jesus said, if you really love me, if you're going to be a great wife to me, then you know what you're going to do? You're going to submit to my will, and you're going to want to do what I ask you to do. If I tell you to stop gossiping, and I begin to convict your heart when you are in those experiences, my grace comes in to convict you, and then it gives you the power to shut up. And you say yes to the Holy Spirit, and you shut up. And in the middle of the conversation, you say, you know, I just have a check in my heart. I shouldn't be talking about this. Please forgive me. I have outspoken what I should not have spoken. Therefore, I just ask you to forgive me. And let's just change the subject. And Lord, I'm so sorry. And move on with your Christian friends. That's grace. But it's received by love. Love empowers faith. Here's the scripture, Galatians 5:6. Can you find it? Gotta quit. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. In other words, the marks on the body, all that the law told you to do, it's not going to do you anything. Because in Christ, that stuff doesn't work. That's Old Testament. He has now fulfilled the law. He has saved us. His grace has come to us now. How do we receive it? But faith working through love. In other words, that's the catch-22. That's why people say, oh, this faith business, it's just, you know, you just can't ask God for anything. Well, when you're walking in love and you're loving him, you wouldn't ask him for anything that's outside his will. Because love, your love for him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll do what I say. When I really love Jim, Jim doesn't have to worry if I'm out cheating on him. When he tells me to be in a certain place and do a certain thing, he has faith in me that I love him enough to do what he says to do. And he can depend on me. Why? Because he knows I love him and I'm a submissive wife. I will be there for my husband. I will come under my husband's covering. I will do what he says even when I disagree, because submission doesn't even begin until you don't agree. Or you don't understand. Or you've got another way. Or you can see another path. And Jesus said, if you love me, if you agape me like I agape you, it will empower your faith. It's what fuels your faith. It's the gasoline in the car. It's the gold behind the dollar, which doesn't have any gold anymore. That's why the dollar's worthless. It is the power behind my faith, is my love for God. And when I begin to come into submission to the Word of God, and I put myself under the authority of God's Word, and I say, God, this is what you tell me to do. Therefore, by grace, because I can't change, but Holy Spirit of grace, come and help me to be what I'm not. And I begin to step in obedience. It's the work of faith. All of a sudden, my faith is empowered, and my faith reaches out and grabs all the grace I need for whatever it is God needs me to do or change. Does any of this make sense to anybody? I know this is heavy and complicated. Some of you are brand new in the Lord and it's just gone shoo right over you. That's all right. Some of you, you get this, thoroughly get this. But you are on a journey of faith. And if you'll hang in here, we will teach you what God has taught us, and we are learning now. We don't know it all. We know very little. I have scratched the surface of this. I'm going to be 60 years old this year. But I can tell you that faith is the channel for grace to come. Grace is a supernatural that can change everything. And it's the love of God, my love for him, not his love for me, because I know he loves me. That's why he's given me grace. But my response as a wife to my Savior, as the bride to the bridegroom, I say, yay, Lord, Master and King, High Priest over me. I submit to your word and I obey and I keep your word. And as I begin to do that, my faith just gets bigger and stronger and stronger. And I just reach up and I can believe for the grace to come and do what God needs done in my life. It's good, isn't it? It's very good. You know what? I'm going to stop here because of the time. And we'll pick this up next week. You want to go on a journey of faith with me this year? Shall we ask God to teach us how to be women of faith? Not hysterical, fearful women. Do you know one of the things that God spoke to me to say to you today, and I'm going to close with this, is this, if we learn this and learn how to operate in this, we won't worry anymore. And we worry about everything. I do. I worried about if I was going to get married or not. Then I got married. Then I worried because Jim had no job. How are we going to live? Then I had kids, and I worried, are they going to serve God? How am I going to raise them? How are we going to? No insurance. What if? Worry. Worry over. And now I'm almost 60, worrying about how are we going to retire? How are we going to have money? Because everything we had was in real estate. It is all gone. You see, there will always be opportunity to worry. You will not escape worry on the planet. It is only when you walk in faith that you tell worry to go to hell. Because it has no place in your life. Because there's a law of faith that says whatever is impossible with man is possible with God. And God will do it. But you can't earn it. You can only receive it. Because it's grace. His promises are his love letters of grace and his promises to us of what he wants in our lives. Amen.